Welcome to NPX, the premier Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox podcast. My name is Shelby.
My name is Skylar.
I'm Callie.
I'm Summa.
I'm Alicia.
Let's game on. NPX. NPX. So how's everybody doing? How's everybody's week?
It's really good.
Oh my gosh, Skylar. Why are you even
really,
here?
I really like our new intro.
Me too.
Yeah, it was good.
It was very good.
What band made that?
Wow, drastic.
It's a new band.
Green Day. Green Day made it.
A new band called Green Day.
A new old band.
It's actually just what's his name from The Killers?
Brandon Flowers.
Billy Joe Armstrong. They got rid of everybody else.
They added Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
Some hoes were coming for their edges, so true. They had to rebrand.
To quote exactly. Alicia.
Everybody looks at Alicia.
I hope this never dies. I want to put that on your tombstone.
No, please do.
It says, hoes came for her head.
Rest in peace. Some hoes came for her edges.
Yes. I mean, you're just saying quotes. Hoes came for my edges.
Yep. Okay.
Alicia Johnson.
Please do. Anyway.
All right, we got a lot to talk about, so we're going to cover the last thing. So the last week, if you listened, we did top five things we missed while we were on hiatus. So this week, we're going to finish that because we only got 5, 4, and 3. We now have to cover the number 2 and the number 1. Does anyone want to tell us what the number 2 of the top 5 things we missed are?
I can't read.
E3.
Oh.
That was the worst.
E3.
It was E3.
E3. So some of us spent hours binging E3. I took work off. It was ridiculous.
Some of us, we mean Shelby.
By some of us,
I was there.
Skylar was there for a lot of it, and Summer was there too.
I wasn't allowed to take work off, so
Alicia,
on the Monday, I had to work.
Alicia
was there
came for
part
of it.
I tried my best.
I don't understand why I didn't
try come
your best.
Watch it with you guys. Mostly I watched it by myself. Well, that's fair.
Yeah, no.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, I'm glad we cleared that up, so that's good. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Overall, really quick, let's go over, like, just, you know, it was a good E3, people think?
Yeah, I watched Funhouse's live stream where they just got trashed, mm-hmm. So that was nice.
Yeah, no, this E3, one of my favorites ever.
Yeah, well, what's weird is it's, like, after every E3 that I've watched, which I think is only 3 now, mm-hmm. Anyway, but every time I watched 3 E3,
you saw my face.
I saw Kelly look at me. Anyway,
what?
But 3 E3, did you get the
E3 cubed? Can we move
anyway,
on?
It's fine, guys. But anyway, but it's like after every one, I'm like, oh my gosh, him. And then every time YouTubers and people will come out and be like, this E3 was bad, and this is why. And I'm like, oh, it was bad. Yeah, true.
Well, you're always gonna get that no matter what.
It just happens every time.
It's so there are so many awkward, terrible moments.
Oh yeah.
And there's no shortage of them every year.
I think that's what makes it good.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I love it so much. One of my favorite moments. I was watching IGN's, and they were like, "Here's footage of the new Wolfenstein," and then it played the commercial for Forza Horizon 3, a game that released.
And it had to
like
go the whole way, like
so happy.
And then the host was like, "So that wasn't Wolfenstein."
Try again.
Super
you
good
think
stuff.
For a tech conference.
Yeah,
a little bit better.
You think
about
for
that.
A tech conference about video games?
They'd be better.
They'd be better about it. They could figure that out. But
you'd
it's
be wrong.
Yeah, you would be. You'd be very
wrong.
It was
Billy the intern. He just really wanted to mess with them.
Always screwing.
Really, overall though, one
Billy.
Of my favorites
didn't
of all time.
He steal like government secrets last podcast.
Yeah,
he stole the place.
I'm so glad we hired him.
Me too. So. Anyway, continue.
Good. I know what we're talking about.
Billy.
Oh,
E3.
Yeah. Hey, Billy.
It's me, Billy.
Oh, no.
Well, that's Mickey.
Oh.
Mickey, stop pranking
Anyways,
us.
Moving on. This is a podcast sometimes where we talk about video games.
Rarely.
We're going to go over our top 3 things from E3. We're going to start with me. I'll do my number 1. We'll do Skylar, Callie, Summer, Alicia, and then we'll do our number 2 and so on until we... run out of time. Hopefully we have enough time to talk about our number 1 thing we missed.
We won't.
Probably not, but we'll try. We'll try. We'll sure try our hardest. My number 1 thing from E3, the thing I'm super excited about, I'm sure anyone who knows me can guess, Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't just announce one Metroid game. One Metroid game would have been good. Even if it had been called Metroid Other M2, I would have been excited just because I love Metroid, and the more Metroid we get, the better. And I really am, I'm confident this time that Metroid could sell. I'm confident.
Real quick.
If they market it.
Exactly.
So,
which they are.
Shelby told me before E3 that, wait, am I allowed to talk about poop on the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
We did, in the is first episode, we did already talk about the facts. About this. I was going to say, Shelby's going to poop for $100,000.
Yeah. No, we literally talked about how he said he was going to poop his pants if they announced Metroid.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He didn't, though. He just sent me really a panic snap so that we're like,
I know.
One
I was
word.
With him and he didn't yeah. do it. We already discussed this. Okay, he said he'd do it for $100,000.
Wow.
But here's the deal. It's not just Metroid Prime 4, which was just a JPEG image that I'm very excited about. It's also Metroid Samus Returns, which is a remake of Metroid 2 Return of Samus for the Game Boy. And the reason I'm very, very excited for this is Metroid remakes work so well because they were already really good. So the framework for a good game is already there. Now all they need to do is modernize the gameplay and how it plays, and it, you know, it's very rarely can you go wrong with something like that. You know what I mean?
What's another one that have they done this before?
They remade the original Metroid, and it is the, you know, considered to be one of the best Metroid games. Some people could argue the best Metroid game. I wouldn't.
But some would.
But some would, and that doesn't make it bad. I mean, comparing, like, saying what is the best Metroid game is like saying what's the best fruit, like it's just so
clearly
cantaloupe.
Okay, wow. So maybe not actually, a good idea.
I'm surprised that we all have actual opinions on the best fruit.
Like, I like that
well,
we all said them
opinions
at the same
are
time.
Wrong.
Strawberries,
so, bananas,
actually.
Obviously.
Okay,
no.
No.
No,
get out of here.
Boo.
They're mushy.
All
and
in favor of drowning Callie in banana mush so that she may live to hate them forever?
Like, or she'll eat the banana mush.
Yeah, or I'll just be happy.
You know, not the mush.
Anyways, so I'm just very excited. So Metroid, a majority of Metroid games are very good, and I'm very excited for this one. It comes out September 16th.
Is it on my birthday
of this year?
No,
your birthday is the
18th.
Wait, of this year?
Yes, like next month.
I know
wow.
it yeah, is.
I'm very excited.
That's what I was saying. Was it on the 18th?
Also, the craziest thing I think for me that I'm like most excited for is that the game didn't get leaked at all. Neither of these games
yeah,
got leaked. Like
that's
it just
rare.
And it's so far in development. Like coming out next month was announced at E3 in
Billy?
June. It just it didn't get leaked, and I love that it was a surprise, not just to see one. Like, I already saw one, and then to see another Metroid, and you didn't even know. You were like, what is this? And then
remember the video of that one guy, and he's not paying attention,
yeah.
and then he looks over, and he falls out of his chair?
Yeah, that's Etika World Network.
Did he fall out of his chair?
Yeah, he falls out of his chair, and he's like, my girl Samus is back!
That's hilarious.
It's so funny. It's one of my favorite videos. He's a great YouTuber. I actually really, really love him. But yeah, I'm very excited. The one thing that I'm worried about is we don't know who is developing Metroid Prime 4. We know nothing about it. It literally was an image. So, I mean, that's really worrisome. I'm hoping. We know that it's not the same people who developed the first three Metroid Prime games. But
Retro Studios.
Yeah, it's not Retro Studios. But what we don't know is who it is. And it could be a new developer. It could be an old developer. I don't know. I don't know. Some people want it to be like Arkane Studios, the guys who did
that sounds so familiar.
Dishonored.
Okay.
Oh, to say Arkane?
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, Arkane Studios. Like, they want Arkane to make it, so it's like
that'd be interesting.
It'd be interesting, but I don't know.
Fair.
So that
it'd
was
be
my
really cool.
It'd be so cool. And they are masters of atmosphere, and that's the main thing is like atmosphere,
yeah, really
level
good.
Design. I just can't wait for portable Metroid Prime. Like I played through Metroid Prime 2 recently, and it was so much fun, but I've been playing Axiom Verge on my Vita, and playing it on my Vita and, like, hearing, getting the feel of Metroid game portable, to get the actual full Metroid game, like Metroid Prime portable, almost too much to handle. If somebody came to me a year ago and said, in a couple years, you're going to be able to play Metroid Prime portably, I would be like, you're a liar. That's too good to be true. But it's like, it's just incredible to me. So that's my number one. Skylar, we go to you.
Cool. The thing I'm most excited about is the Breath of the Wild DLC. which the first one already came out, and no, I haven't played it because I don't have a Switch yet. But I will someday.
You and everyone else in the world right now.
Yeah, right?
Even if you had the money,
but it looks awesome. I mean, you get all these outfits, which is really cool. I'm way excited for Majora's Mask, Midna's... Is that technically a mask? Helmet?
Mm-hmm.
The Phantom Armor... I hate Tingle's outfit. Unpopular Why? Opinion. I hate Tingle. Yeah.
Wait, that's unpopular?
I think
no,
so.
No,
yeah.
I don't think anyone likes Tingle. I thought everyone loves to hate Tingle.
I think he's a beloved character. Yeah. When someone genuinely hates him, it's like.
I thought he was a
no,
man.
Like people. Like it, the whole joke is that you hate him, and then like,
yeah, that's what I
thought.
But
we all really do.
Tingle is the epitome of a meme where it's like, I hate this meme, but you just love it because it's funny. Like,
yeah.
Like fidget spinners. Like you're just like, look at my fidget spinner.
I feel like it's like, but, not people want Tingle to cease to exist, but Tingle is stupid and annoying, and that's like everyone's
literally
thing is.
He is the equivalent of Jar Jar Binks to me. Seriously.
Dang.
Yeah, see,
literally,
I don't... that
no.
is an unpopular
just
opinion.
Just not
actually, but
Tingle.
Then again, Jar Jar Binks is that, too.
You did. But
like, people think
yeah.
Jar Jar Binks... Like, people say, what is the reason Star Wars is good? And I would,
Jar-Jar's
as a joke, say...
Jar
Jar Binks is the key to all
of
this.
Right.
You know?
To quote George like, Lattis,
have you,
but, like,
yeah.
really,
have you
like,
guys
he's
heard
terrible.
That theory and, like, seen
that
video?
That he's a Sith Lord?
Yeah, that he's a Sith Lord pulling the strings from behind 100% the
true.
I'm literally
confirmed.
So happy that George Lucas came out and was like, yep.
Yep.
cracked it.
Okay, but so the new DLC,
very excited
it comes
this.
With Trial of the Sword, Hero's Path Mode, Master Mode, and then you get a bunch of new outfits. The Hero's Path mode is cool because you can look at the map and see, like, where you've been. So you can see what path you've been taking.
Oh.
Trial of the Sword is just an additional trial that you get to do, which is awesome. Where you start without any weapons or anything like that, which is really cool.
I've heard...
the worst, because it's, like, that stupid island. What's it called, Alicia?
What?
The island on Botwa that you... Eventide Island. The one where you go on the island and then everything gets taken away and you have to... get the shrine.
Oh no, yeah. I hate that.
I was like, I think
I went too
it.
Early and I didn't have any of the little powers that the people give you for beating the shrine.
I
not know. The shrine.
I just cheated.
Like,
you have to cheat.
The wind.
I sailed up to the island without
getting
on and just
the champions.
Threw
the champions
some
give
like
you?
Weapons
I
onto the island.
Not, like none of that, and so
that worked.
I got every orb, and then I was killing the Hinox, and it
was
sad on me.
Oh, it was the worst.
And I died, and I was...
I felt so bad.
So that would be the same.
No, didn't you kill it, and as it fell to its knees,
yeah,
it landed
no,
on you, and you died?
Dead.
Yeah, that's,
yeah.
What, that's what happened.
That's
and, like,
so
you
awesome.
Know how, like, kneels down and then, like,
yeah.
dies? Yeah, no one kneeled on me.
That's
the
worst.
Yeah, I was like, I'm never playing this game again.
Yeah.
And then I did the next day.
Yeah.
I didn't play that island again
yes.
for a very long time.
Okay. But yeah, so I sailed up really close and then threw some... weapons like
mm-hmm.
that I knew I wouldn't miss if they would disappear forever, so I had like some basic weapons.
Oh,
that's
really,
really
yeah.
cool.
That's
awesome.
I call hacks.
Nah, it's
work smarter
exploit.
Not harder.
Work smarter
Nintendo
not harder
police. I'll follow that.
I regret nothing.
So are you excited for that, or are you excited for the story DLC that they announced?
Ooh,
well, so I'm more
yeah.
excited for the other DLC where we get to learn a lot more about Zelda.
Well, because
like,
they I was gonna say they confirmed it takes place after. Spoiler alert, you kill Ganon, takes place after then,
what?
And it's about...
I thought you became
about,
friends with him.
And he confirmed...
I thought it was a dating simulator.
Yeah, I thought we were in love.
The guy, what's his name?
We're not talking about Dream Daddy,
guys. Sorry. He confirmed that it takes place after you kill Ganon, but we don't know
Ganon
if it's what it's about.
Really
good.
Dream demise. Sorry. I'm just
man.
Just riffing. Okay,
guys are
on
one day.
I'm
so
sorry.
It takes place after you kill Ganon. We've seen screenshots and gameplay footage of Zelda walking into...
Zelda walking?
Literally anything
I
Zelda does.
Yeah.
It shows footage of Zelda doing stuff and like moving, and it shows cutscenes of you trying to reunify the kingdom after... everything has happened.
Wow.
We're not sure exactly what the story is, but my theory is, and this is just based on what everything has been said about it and what we've seen, is that it's you and Zelda go around and you try to,
you
like, get the kingdoms to start communicating and start, you know, society back up after...
I love it.
So, and that's the cool thing is, I think it'll go from, like, this unique you versus the most evil of evils, like... big storyline to this kind of small, intimate, political storyline almost. Which could be really bad, but also I just like the learning about the world.
It could be 3 hours of me watching Zelda like tinker in a lab, and I'd be like, "Yes,
this is good.
I'll give you $100." But like,
that never happens in Zelda games. It's like you beat Ganon, and then you just assume things are fine. Mm-hmm. Like, what if they're not fine?
Are you not able to play it unless you've beaten the game?
I don't know.
Unlock.
I don't know.
I would assume. Sure.
I would assume because I mean it's coming out. Most people have beaten the game, and if you haven't, then that's just one of those things that's like,
well, then you would have motivation to beat the game.
Yeah, you have something to look forward to after. Even if you want to wait and play more before you beat it, you can be like, after I beat this game, I'll be able to see what happens next.
Yeah, there's more.
Because that's the biggest thing. After I beat the game, and I don't want to, like, this is going to be spoiler alert, so if you haven't beaten...
Don't spoil things.
Minor spoiler.
No, don't spoil anything. I haven't beaten it yet.
I already spoiled it for you.
I know, but don't spoil it for him.
This is a game podcast.
I won't spoil any of the story, but what I will say is the feeling that I got after it was done was...
This isn't over?
What happened after this? There's so much left open, like...
Don't.
That's it. Like, you just... You want to know what happens next. And the world is so good. They do much so much building after...
So building.
They do so much world building just through gameplay and through what you see and through the, like... Seeing the destruction, like, the aftermath of what Longmont Ranch looks like, and seeing, like, being in the castle and seeing all this destruction.
That made me so sad.
Yeah, like, all that stuff is world building, though. You learn about what this world, I mean, was like, even if you haven't played Ocarina of Time. You know what the world was like, so it's like, I don't know. I'm excited to see how they build it more on top of what they've already done.
Any last thoughts, Skylar?
I can't find anywhere that says that it takes place after. I have found lots that says it takes place before. And it's about Zelda basically gathering the champions.
That's pretty cool.
It's called The Champion's Ballad.
Yeah, I knew that one. So, I knew that it was called that. I thought...
So you might be talking about a different DLC.
No, I was talking about that one, but maybe I read it wrong or maybe I heard it wrong.
So all of it... Yeah, because in all the cutscenes and stuff like that, she's wearing her blue dress thingy, like robe.
Oh, yeah.
And she is like... on her white horse and stuff like that, and it says that where'd it go? There was a quote on here somewhere. I'll find it someday.
Anuma explained at Japan Expo in Paris will be set after Ganon's defeat and will focus largely on Zelda.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how you found that so fast because I've been looking.
it's Games Radar, and it's July 7th, 2017, Sam Prell.
Interesting.
So I guess we will find out
when
the DLC comes.
I would definitely prefer for it to be after. Anything Zelda, though, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I would really like
more after.
Maybe
it's a little before and after.
Yeah.
What if there's a little bit of both?
I mean, that would be nice. Some more memories. But also you'll get Link's lobster shirt from Wind Waker, which I'm excited about.
Oh, yes. Incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. Look at this.
Critics rave.
It's totally good.
Shout out to Nigahiga, circa 2007, probably.
Yes.
Or 2010.
Callie.
Me.
Okay.
Is everyone doing research?
No, I'm not. I just wanted to know the actual date of this because I can't remember. I feel like it's coming out soon. Okay, so definitely one of my favorite things from E3, because I'm a 5-year-old child, was the trailer drop for Moss. Which I'm super stoked about because I would love to play alongside a little tiny mouse.
So did you watch the PlayStation conference?
And I didn't watch it all.
You didn't watch all? What did you see of it? Like, what did you see from
basically
it?
Mouse.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, out of all
of the things from the PlayStation conference...
There are so many.
Yeah.
There are so many. The 5 VR games that are dropping were the ones that I really...
Man...
Because I had to go back and watch it, so I kind of just like skipped through a bunch of stuff.
Because when we watched it, the sound was messed up for a little bit, so we missed the Days Gone trailer, a lot of it, but we missed all of the Uncharted Lost Legacy trailer.
Now I will say I was excited for Moss, but that's not why I'm the most excited, and we've talked about this a little bit. So Richard Leko, the Polyarch, basic like animation guy. Just released a clip 4 days ago of talking about how like Quill, the main protagonist in the game, was the only going mouse. To the little mouse, she's so cute, was only going to squeak and like pantomime, and watching her pantomime is really cute too. Mm-hmm. But they just animated her using sign language, which is so cool because I just feel like everyone needs to do this once, because I wanted to know what it was like. Go play your favorite game where there's a lot of talking that you need to hear. Turn off the sound, mm-hmm. and then try to play it reading captions. Mm-hmm. It is so hard. And so the fact that they're actively, like, they release this clip and they're like, oh yeah, she'd put some, like, we're gonna put some ASL in with her and she's gonna sign a little bit. And it's also adorable, by the way. It's so cute. And I'm just, like, sitting here watching it on repeat. Like, the last 5 minutes I've just been watching her sign.
So, what company developed this game, do you know?
Polyarch?
Yeah. What else have they made?
Not a lot.
let me look it up. Continue talking about it.
But so they have like released all of that, and it was actually really funny because yesterday the head designer for Quill, Richard, he tweeted out about how he was watching the love pour in yesterday for Quill in the sign language as he was animating a death scene for her. Oh, and I was like, thank you for dropping that in. That's so cool.
Wait.
So I guess is
a
it
death scene for the
mouse. I think it's more of like a if you don't do something.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But what I like about
is
the
it
game.
One of those games.
Yeah.
Where it's like.
I think so. Don't stress what me I out. Like about the game is that it's not so cartoon. Like. A lot of PlayStation virtual reality games really lean heavily on one of two things. Crappy graphics with, like, heavy story, mm-hmm. or great graphics with, like, that's what they're leaning on is the fact that it's VR.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, well, this game is so great because it's virtual reality. Yes.
That's it.
Holy crap. This might be their first game.
Yeah, it is
their
first game.
I was
going to
say, I
think
it might be.
Guess what it consists of? A bunch of ex-Bungie devs.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's...
It's gonna
awesome.
Be great.
All of the worst.
So, yeah. So
and it's
all
a Zelda,
this...
a Zelda-esque game.
Uh huh. Yeah. Ooh. But like the animation on it is beautiful, but not mm-hmm. like too far.
Yes. Have you played a lot of PlayStation VR?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't because I don't like it.
Is this the your third thing that we're talking about?
The what?
Your third thing.
My third.
No, this is
our
first.
No, this is my first.
No, no, no. But like, are you going to talk more about VR?
I'm going to talk more about VR.
We'll
yes.
come back to this.
Okay.
Okay.
Just making sure.
So overall, Moss, very exciting.
Very exciting. Thank you for the...
I just think that it's weird that you were like, out of all the things, even just from the PlayStation conference, like, when I saw Spider-Man,
okay, that's
so many more questions about that than I did about Moss. Like, I saw Moss and I was like, that's cute. And then I saw God of War and I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to be completely honest. I wasn't as excited about, like, it was not going to be top mm-hmm. until I saw that tweet. And then I was like, there's so much, like... You can have a good video game, mm-hmm. but there's not a lot
this?
Of... Right? That's what it looks like, but no, you're not.
I like his little grass sword.
Yeah, the mouse, like, understands your presence and knows that you're there and is asking for your help, mm-hmm. but, like, you don't... You're
that's
just, like,
cool.
the spiritual
You don't
guy.
Play as him.
Yeah, you don't play yeah. as the mouse, which
You
I
just
like.
Help him, which
yeah.
is the cutest.
Which is super
yeah.
cute. This trailer's so cute. Anyway.
Well, and I just think it's going to be super clever. That's the way that yeah. we need to be using VR. People are like, it needs to be first person... Where you move your hands and like do it like that. It's like, no.
Well,
the most clever
someday.
Games and the ones that are going
to
be the most known are going to be the ones that use it for something clever instead of what it's like.
Yeah.
It needs to be
like,
innovative.
Obviously, these
yeah.
are your hand controllers
like out
and
of the
you
box.
See it. It's like,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
like what every other person, but not every other person is going to think you control a wisp that helps a mouse.
Yeah.
Like, that's way more clever.
Yeah. yeah. But so I just think that. The reason it jumped to number one on my list was really just because I feel like there just aren't a lot of games that do, like, broad spectrum inclusion of people. Like, there's not a lot of games, I don't mm-hmm. think, any that I can name off the top of my head that even have, like, a colorblind.
There's Which... a game called...
to the rescue!
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it called? It was Wait, made by Bioshock
it's...
and Dead Space people.
Well, this is the blind one, right?
Yeah.
Not colorblind. There's two blind games that I can think of.
Yeah.
But the Perception...
Perception, that's what
Which
it's called.
Which just a scary one?
Yeah, it's a horror
Ooh,
game where you are
reviews.
A blind girl. It got terrible reviews just because of the thing. But the whole concept is you use echolocation. So completely black and you tap your foot.
Oh, and you see, I've
and
seen
And it bounces
of
off
this.
And you can
yeah.
see things. But there's a monster chasing you. And it's apparently the reason it's not rated very well is like it's
the
very difficult
really
to for the mechanic to work the way
yeah.
you want it to.
Okay,
yeah.
that makes sense.
Anyway. Oh, sorry, I was just going to say the other game is there's that one where you're a little girl and you have to, like, feel your way along, isn't it? And as you feel your way along, it gets filled out.
Are you
it
talking about Unfinished Swan? The one where
Maybe.
You paint? everything?
No, it's a different one, because there's that too. This one, I can't
remember. Because Unfinished Swan, maybe I think, is like that. Maybe this was a game
that hasn't come out. Yeah. And I wish,
I mean, and I think there are games that, like, come from the perspective of someone who's, like, blind or something. But, like, to have actual inclusion, so, like, if you had a colorblind setting, because when you're colorblind and things look all the same, it's hard to play on different maps that have, like, different shades of green, right?
Yeah.
And so having, even just like for the 5-year-old out there who only can speak in sign language and all of a sudden has this really cute like mouse they can follow. No, it's, anyway, yeah, anyway, that's awesome. That's why I jumped to number one for me is because it was just cute. Okay.
Apparently every Call of Duty
has a color
since
blind
Modern
mode?
Warfare 3 has a colorblind mode
I've
that lets you choose
same
like main enemy indicators from green to red.
But that's not every game. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not common.
Borderlands 2 also has added, they added text.
Well, I think the point here is that, yeah, you can play it in colorblind mode, but there's not colorblind like characters
that
you can relate with.
That's there's not a mouse that uses sign language because it cannot communicate any other way.
There's a game that the whole concept of it was someone was like, I want to design a game that blind people can play. Yeah. And so it's on your phone and it's narrated by
Samuel Jackson.
No. Khan in the new Star Trek.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch narrates.
Butter by Cumberbun?
Butter by Bumberbump.
Beach Ball Cucumber Patch?
He narrates it. And it's, I don't even know exactly how it works. Like, if I were to design it in my head right now, never played it, don't know what it's called, but I would be like, touch the top half of your screen if you want to do this action, do the bottom half if you want to do this action, and it's basically a choose-your-own-adventure type thing, and it, like, describes what's going on in sounds play and stuff like that. But yeah, that's one game that's cool. It's just, games like that are really special.
Yeah, they are. And, okay, the other reason I was like, oh, I love this so much is for all of the people who don't know, like, I work in a place where I'm the only one who knows sign language, and we've had, for some reason, like, an influx of people who are hard of hearing or deaf come in, and so I'm the only person who can help them, and this is, like, learn basic signs, like, from this game, and use them, because they are going to be basic, they're going to be easy to follow, and you're going to know what they mean, and the fact that it's actually done in the way that someone who is deaf or hard of hearing would understand them is, like, okay, cool. Everyone should pick up on this. Like, if anyone's going to play one, not, okay, I shouldn't say that, but just if you're going to pick up any sign language and you're just too lazy about it, like, just play this video game and pick up on something.
I hope,
so you have at least a little bit of
I hope the game comes out on non-VR.
That would be good, too.
Because then it'll sell better, and then they'll make other games.
I think it would do really well on the Switch.
It would do amazing on the Switch with the Joy-Con controllers, and you could, it would literally, like, and it would sell so well, too.
Nintendo. At PlayStation, cross-platform, maybe?
I'm going to talk about this. PlayStation's been a butt lately about.
Yeah, it's on our list. Anyway, that's all.
All right, Summer.
Yeah, PlayStation needs to protect its gamers from the hardcore, angry Nintendo players.
Sorry.
Those Mario Kart Online people are savages.
True, cool.
You know, though, they are actually, though. So it's like,
it's like but an they all are. It's like any online thing. Everyone is awful.
So, Summer, what's your...
Hello.
What's
moving on.
My name's Summer. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh, yeah.
What a surprise.
Actually, though, yes, though.
No, that she wants to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
So I was like, no, actually, it's a
Resident mess. Beyond Good and Evil player here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very conflicted. Obviously, I'm excited. I'd have to be on crack to not be excited. Like, obviously. But I'm very wary of the fact that it's a prequel. Sequel? A prequel? You know what I mean?
Prequel sequel.
It's literally
like,
a prequel.
I was like watching
the name. That's called
watching the trailer and I was like, this is so cool. It looks so cool. And my head exploded. And then like Shelby was like, yeah, it's a prequel. And I was like,
as a prequel sequel, what they should have called it was Beyond Good and Evil 1.5.
They should have called it Beyond Good and Evil.
Oh, they should have called it.
Because it's been 16 years.
No,
and if anybody called Beyond Good and
Evil. It's not a reboot.
It doesn't have to be. If they just called it Beyond Good and Evil, it would have.
That would have been weird. You can't just name
it
the same Beyond
Evil
and Good. Or Before Good and Evil.
That's what they should have called it.
Yeah, I'm more clever than
Good and Evil, not Beyond Good and Evil.
Anyway, but.
Go on. Truthfully, so how many of us here have played Beyond Good and Evil 1?
I watched Summer.
You've watched Summer. So I played the first 15 minutes of it.
So he knows all about it. Did
you even, have you heard about it?
I liked it.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I love it.
Here's the thing.
Thanks, Alicia.
The game itself came out in 2003?
Yeah, I think it's either 2001 or 2003.
So early 2000s, and it was doing things that modern day games are doing really, really well now. Like it was the first game to have like a camera mode.
It was
where you go into a camera, and you can like zoom in and take pictures of things and like send them off into the game.
Pictures of animals.
It's called Beyond Good and
Evil. Okay.
No, it has a cool art style.
Oh my god. Golly goodness, Skyla.
I almost fell over. Everything's fine.
Anyway, but you take pictures of animals because, like, a news team asks you to. Oh, no, a scientist asks you to, I think. Yeah, so you send them pictures of animals, and every time it's a new animal, you get money for it.
And so the art, the whole...
That was not what I was expecting.
So the whole idea of it is, like, you're in a universe where people and... pig creatures and...
There's a bunch of anthropomorphic animals.
And like, they all live kind of together, and it's super-duper interesting concept
it's
world.
It's really stylized.
Super stylized.
Why did you only play 15 minutes?
Well, I just haven't played more than the first level. But it's a game that came out 16 years ago, so it's like...
Yeah.
So it's like,
That would be 2001, if it was 16.
Yeah, it's 2001. Yeah. So that's the thing, is it's like... For me, the reason I haven't gone back is I've just been so busy with other games. Like, I've been
That's
playing
fair.
The crap out of Skyrim, and I just barely got Fortnite, and I downloaded Dead Rising 3. But the thing is, it controls today like I would want it to control. A lot of the time, you go back to a game that came out a long time ago, and you're like, oh, it just doesn't control as good as it used to. It doesn't, blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't work right, so it's hard to come back to because it's like, the mechanics don't work like a modern day game because, newsflash, as games get older, they get older.
We perfect things as they get newer. We learn things.
So, but it's not hard to go back to at all. Playing this game is like playing a game that came out yesterday. It's incredible how well it's aged.
Yeah, the only reason it's aged, like, look, you're like, this is old, is because graphically. And even graphically, it's not like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, the HD remaster is beautiful.
But also, yeah, like, I played it a few months ago, I restarted it again, and I got a couple hours in. Sorry. I got a couple hours in, and I was touching my face, so everyone at home knows what just happened.
You were covering your mouth.
I was rubbing my eye. Anyway, so the point
Everyone's
is...
Everyone's right.
Anyways, so the point is, I haven't... beaten it again, but I replayed it a while ago, and I was not frustrated with any of the controls. Like, some games you play and you're like, wow, this game is bad, even though it's not bad, but you're like,
we're literally in the middle of playing Sonic Adventure 1. Terrible.
Oh, the amount of times I've said this game is bad.
It's so good in the best way.
But the controls, it's so hard.
Yeah, and the camera's terrible, and it's like, why did they even...
I'm trying to snowboard, and as soon as I try and turn a little bit, I shoot across to the other side
of
the...
The thing. The game sequel now, people have been asking for it for years, and they finally...
This is my topic.
I know, but... You can continue.
No, you go.
Okay.
You go. It's fine.
So here's where you three will get really excited. And the reason I was excited. First of all, have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
Dude, watch the trailer.
The trailer, have you seen the trailers for like Overwatch, the cinematics?
Yeah.
It's like that level quality in that like it's focused on character and like there's
so
epic music
beautiful.
And epic moments. And
Talking
there's a beautiful
monkey.
Ending and it's super cinematic and
Just
stuff.
Just like Overwatch.
So,
Just
but
like
the,
Overwatch.
But the thing is, it's
is this
super
Overwatch?
Vulgar.
Yeah.
Yes!
So like...
Just to warn you guys, there's swears.
Yeah, it is NSFW. It is
me,
really, really vulgar, and there's a lot of swear words. But the thing is, the first game had none of that, which is cool because that means that they know that their audience has gotten older, which means people are going to be okay with that. The people who would play the first game, the ones that they want to give this game to. But here's what's cool. I highly recommend going and seeing the tech demo for this game. And it was unreleased for the first week of E3, and then the next week of E3, they released the tech demo, and... Wow. I've never been more impressed and wary of a game before because what they're trying to do with this game is crazy. So the first thing is you play as a character that you design, and you can either be an animal, part animal, that walks around as a human, or you can be a human. And then you can choose basically how you play it. And I'm going to use, it's kind of like GTA. Like, you can choose how you want to play the game. And that means you can get either a tiny ship with a small crew, or a massive ship with a big crew, or you can get a cargo ship and your friends can come in and dock their ship into your ship and they can be part of your crew. It's entirely online. So the game, like, is completely online. But the other thing is, I don't know if you guys have played a game called No Man's Sky. Not going to compare it to that, but in a way where you can fly from... The whole idea is that you can go from a tiny shop in the middle, like a tiny sushi shop, and, like, eat the sushi down there, exit out of the building into a massive city, go up the city to, like, one of the top of the buildings, get in a ship, fly the ship out into space to another planet, get on another city, go down into the city, walk down the streets into another sushi shop, and then eat sushi in that sushi shop.
Wait, this isn't the first one?
No, this is the new one. This is what they want to do with
it. The first one's not that advanced. It's good, but it's not
that. So that's the thing. They're trying to do things that I've never seen in a video game before. So if they can pull that off, it's amazing. Which is really weird because they're going from, like, they're talking about things that feel like you can't do it on this generation of console.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just going to say, is all this, like, just in concept right now? Or is it confirmed?
They have a tech demo, and the tech demo is pretty amazing because he zooms out all the way to show multiple planets, zooms in to where you see the outskirts of the city in a tiny ship, and then he zooms into the ship, and the ship is massive, and the little tiny monkey is on top of it, and the monkey can fly and go around the ship, and you can go in the ship, and just like in the trailer, they blow up a massive cargo ship, but he says, like, you if you discover a massive cargo ship, you and your mates, is what he says, can go into that ship and see that they're holding slaves in there, and you can go up and like open the cells and let those slaves out, and those people will join your ship, and then you can blow up the ship, or if you want to, you can just blow up the ship from the outside and just watch the ship crumble to the ground. And it's like, and you'll miss out on those slavery and you'll be sad, but like at the same time, sometimes it's quicker, sometimes it's better to do that. It all depends on how you want to play. The other thing is they have randomly generated characters. So, like, there are main characters that'll be in everyone's game, like the monkey character from the trailer, one of the main girls. So there'll be a bunch of... But then there's random characters that'll be completely random. So there'll be, like, this monkey in your game that's a really good mechanic, and he'll say lines, and his soul and entity is only in your game and in no one else's. He's a character straight to your game.
That's insane.
And you can, like, he's on your crew, and he is your character. And at first I was like, how is that going to work? That doesn't make any sense because, you know, voice acting, blah, blah, blah. I'll be totally if the rest of the characters are voice acting. But the thing is, the way that you communicate, at least in the first game, is you go up to people and little text boxes come up and they say things like in Legend of Zelda almost. So in the cutscenes, you'll probably get dialogue and voice acting, but when it's in the overworld and you're communicating with characters, it's little text boxes when they don't have any, like, and everybody has that. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm excited for the memes when that glitches.
Yes!
And someone says something like, all our base are belong to us.
It's so good.
Well, here's the one last thing. This is what I really wanted to touch on. Obviously I'm excited because I loved that game when I was a kid and it was super cool and it's still a good game. But it ends on a cliffhanger. On a biggin. Like a big old fat cliffhanger.
I want you to spoil it to talk about it, but I am going to play the game, so it's like...
I think I've told you before.
You may have.
So, can I say it?
Yeah.
I mean, well...
It's been 16 years. It's not like... If I know it, it's my fault.
But I feel like because the second one is announced, it's going to get an influx of more people playing, but I'm still going to say, spoiler ahead, cover your ears. Just kidding. But, so Jade...
Just skip to, like, a minute from now.
I can't even remember his name. What's the pig's name?
Can't even remember.
I can't remember right
now. Her uncle.
I'm ashamed, yeah. Anyway, but the point is, the whole time you're dealing with, like, a government conspiracy, and it's all really shady, and you go to the creepy factories where bad experiments and stuff are happening. I can't quite remember because I haven't beaten it since I was a child. Anyway, but the point is, your uncle gets taken by the people, the bad guys, and then it ends. And then it was like, haha, there will not be another game.
And they're like, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
A prequel. Yeah, I know, so I got so amped. I had literally researched recently about how, like, there had been some discussion of a sequel, but, like, nothing substantial.
In 2009,
there was
a trailer.
I thought it was 2011. 2008, I think. Yeah. I read about it when the thing... Anyway, so I was like, you know, it's been talked about, but not enough for it to be like, yeah, this is going to happen. So it's like, I can't believe I'm never going to have a resolution to this game. And then you showed me the trailer, and I died, because I was like, a resolution! We can know what happened! And then I was like, no, you can't. Why would we continue from where we left off? That's weird. Anyway, so...
Do you just fall more in love with the uncle, and then it makes it even worse that you don't know what happened?
Yeah, seriously, like, is he going to be in? I'm very frustrated.
What if it's like a... side, like, it starts side before story. And then ends continues after.
On. I was about to say, that's what I literally about. Was about to say, I wouldn't put it past them.
I said
to...
that when you talked about it, too. I said maybe it will be both.
Yeah, I think it might, like, the I first, but then again, it. I don't know.
Because like, this is kind of a reboot to the series since it's been 16 years, so yeah. You know what I mean? So maybe after this one, then they're like,
if the game actually does the things that they say it will do, which I can't, I would be so surprised if they did. I hope it does, but if it does, then people will be flocking to this game.
Who's doing this one?
Ubisoft? Ubisoft and Michael Ancel. He's the guy who he's the guy who did the original Beyond Good and Evil and the Rayman Legends and Rayman Origins games.
I love Rayman Legends. Oh,
I have never laughed as hard as I did when I played Rayman Legends.
Did you ever play Rayman Arena for the GameCube?
No.
Oh, it's life-changing.
You mean the greatest game console of all time?
Yes.
I literally, we played this game called, what is it, Soccer? What was the game? Soccer something?
Oh, I don't remember what it was called, but it was in Rayman Legends,
It's in Rayman Legends, and you basically, you play Rocket League, but with Rayman characters.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Rocket League, it's 2D.
It's just tennis. It's tennis. Yeah, I've never laughed that hard in my whole life. I had to go to the bathroom because I was like,
I laughed so hard.
Why is that?
That's just what happens to your body. Anyway, but yeah, I laughed so hard I had to go to bed.
Yeah.
I was physically weak after laughing and I went, I'm going to bed, guys.
It was the funniest thing. And we played it with somebody who was 100%ing the game, so he had so many
things,
and he'd been playing it for like 17 hours, and me and Summer destroyed him.
Shots fired.
We completely annihilated him in the game, and it was so funny because we picked up the game that day and just completely
wrong about the cliffhanger.
What's the cliffhanger?
I forgot. You get him back.
Uh-huh.
His name is Paige, by the way. Oh, Paige.
What happens then?
What's the cliffhanger? You get him back. He gets taken, but you rescue him. Hold on. Sorry, it's been since I was like 10.
Summer is literally bouncing in her chair right now.
I'm just always doing that. Okay. No, you get him back. And then this is really involved, but then a spore from like this bad stuff in the world, the conspiracy thing, underground shady factory stuff, there's like spores, and one of the spores is growing on his hand. That's how it ends.
I'll play it and then we'll see.
That's it, though. I just read the Wikipedia page.
Maybe the prequel is actually more of like a side story, and what it is you find a cure for the spore thing, and then that's how that one ends.
I think it's going to be time travel. I really do.
Ooh, right. Time travel.
Well, what if, like what Callie said, what if they just find the cure in that game and it's separate, but it's like, oh, that means
that
there
means
is
it
a cure.
Somewhere in the world.
So then the
third one, you have to go find it.
Yeah.
Something.
Also, Jade's mom is definitely in.
Move on to Alicia.
Yeah.
Before we go on to Alicia, I want to talk about. I know I'm skipping. I'm skipping Alicia. Alicia, it's because I hate you
forever. Just kidding.
I want silent. To talk about the Pokemon Nintendo Switch game. Okay, the Pokemon on Nintendo Switch, because this is a huge deal. Pokemon on Nintendo Switch is super exciting for a couple reasons. First of all, it's a mainline Pokemon game, and it's always been released on a 3DS. How many of you guys have played the mainline Pokemon games?
What do you mean
by that?
Like Pokemon Red and Blue,
Ruby and
Sapphire. Oh, yeah. We've all played a couple of them. Except for Summer, who hates Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. I hate them. I don't.
I was going to say, that's sarcastic, right?
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
I definitely love Pokemon. I'm just not good at beating the games.
She's really bad at beating the games. I told her she wasn't allowed to get Moon until she beat Omega Ruby.
Yeah, like, I love it. Listen, guys. I feel really attacked right now. I'm just kidding. Go on.
Here's the deal. They've always been on handhelds, and that tradition is continuing with Pokemon on the Switch, and they announced a mainline Pokemon game for the Nintendo Switch. I'm so excited for this. The fact that we're going to get, and we know nothing, this Like, you know, I talk about how Metroid Prime 4, I talk about how Metroid Prime 4 is announced with a JPEG image, but this was even less. This was a guy saying, a mainline Pokemon entry on the Nintendo Switch is coming.
Excellent.
That was it.
That was a good Nintendo.
And then he ran off stage before everyone swore.
Wasn't not on stage, literally in his office, like, drawing, and he was like, oh, you caught me at a weird Pokemon on Switch.
Oh, so it's like a little clip?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And then he ignores the camera and keeps drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was exactly.
And that goes on for 20 minutes.
Because I was reading into it, and it's not supposed to come out for like a year.
Yeah, it's That's not for a while. So
sad. But isn't it just Sun and Moon again?
No, because Ultra That's Sun and 3DS. Ultra Moon are coming out for the 3DS this August? This month?
This month? In 2 weeks.
Could you imagine if a Pokemon... No, it's November. It's November. I was going to say, could you imagine if a Pokemon game was coming out this month and I didn't know about it?
No, I can't imagine a world
No,
where
but
that
Sonic
true.
Mania is coming out in a week.
Yes.
No, 10 days.
Yep, November 17th.
Yeah, November. So, Pokemon
also,
Ultra Sun
are you kidding? They literally just remade this game and are releasing it again.
No problems at all.
What game?
Pokemon Sun and Moon. So good. Absolutely excited.
What's
the
difference?
But, like,
nothing.
Confused.
Well, there's like, the new like things.
Oh, there's another thing that's coming out that doesn't really have a difference either, but we'll get there.
But like, Sun and Moon came out on the 3DS, correct?
Yeah.
No, it is.
So like,
Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are also coming out on the 3DS.
Is this gonna be like a Splatoon deal where it's like the same game?
It comes with additions to the story.
New Pokemon forms. That's about it.
Well,
did anybody play Pokemon Black and White too?
DLC.
That was a thing that existed? Yeah. How did I miss that?
This doesn't say anything about new Pokemon. It's
just new they literally just announced new Pokemon quietly. Today. They announced Lycanroc. I guess it's still a new form.
Yeah, that's just
Lycanroc.
What
does it look like?
It's orange with green eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
Dusk form.
How did Magikarp?
Instead of
this is
night
getting too
and
complicated.
Day.
Well, yeah.
What happened to
midday
just, like,
form
fire, water,
and
earth,
night and midnight form? Anyways,
that's...
the point is.
Oh.
Any new Pokemon
and
game is a welcome.
Yeah.
Any new Pokemon game is a welcome.
Did Black
to me.
And White 2 come with new Pokemon?
Yes. No. It came with new forms. It was not. It was literally a cash grab. They could release Pokemon Sun and Moon again, is what it could be called.
Literally
it could be Pokemon Sun and Moon
again.
And if you purchase now, you'll also get a brand new Pikachu.
Yes.
And
people people would flock to it. It would sell the same as every other Pokemon. Because it's Pokemon.
Yeah, I would say they could release like any of the old ones.
In fact,
and I was like, actually, that would be really cool.
I guarantee you this one will sell better than the original because after the original and before this one, Pokemon Go came out.
Mm.
So a bunch more people have probably gotten back into it.
But also the new 2DS XL, which is life.
That too.
And I'm very excited.
Also,
I want to sell
the
my
new
3DS and get the 2DS XL.
I did for a while, but mine is a limited edition. And
so just buy the
never
mine's not.
Buy the
so.
New one.
Also, definitely, why don't you just spend the $150? You won't. That's nothing
because,
for a console.
Because I can sell mine for $75 and only pay $75 for a new one.
What is the difference? Because I haven't.
It doesn't do 3D.
It's shaped differently.
Its screen isn't as nice.
It doesn't.
Its screen is bigger.
It's bigger, but it's not as nice. Well, no, but it's not as nice, and that's the thing. A lot of people thought it was as nice.
Do you have the same problem when you play or see anything in 3D that like hurts your brain because of your glasses?
Yeah. No, I have the problem where I just don't play in 3D because it's a gimmick.
Ah, that's fair.
And also it's dumb.
I don't get
if I accidentally switch on the 3D on my 3DS at all ever so slightly, I'm like, ew.
There are a couple games I turn it on for. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D is
100%. I'll turn it on for cutscenes.
Hold on. 100% love the 3D feature.
I love it, but I don't use it.
Unpopular opinion.
I use it all the time.
It doesn't,
it doesn't
enhance the gameplay for me.
No,
if it did, I would. And it does in a couple games. One game I will say it doesn't do anything to the gameplay but makes the game look better is Fire Emblem Awakening. It literally makes the screen bigger, like it widens it.
Yeah.
So you
really
see more of what's going on.
Huh.
I don't know. I'm a sucker for gimmicks. Like,
yeah.
This fidget spinner lights up. I need this.
I was gonna say, did you also buy like every version of the Ninja Blender they have? Or like the Slap Chop?
Oh my gosh.
Like literally the thing I want most right now is a keyboard that lights up and makes extra tappy sounds.
I don't blame
when
you
type.
That's
extra
tappy.
You know, extra tappy, like it's like a
click 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 click.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Those are gaming keyboards.
Yeah.
So the resolution on all 3DS family devices is 400 by 240. The only difference is on the 2DS XL, it's a 4.88 inch versus mm-hmm. the 3.53 that all the rest are.
Yeah, no, and the thing that people are saying, and this is based on reviews that other people have solely. I have no experience with the new 2DS XL. It came out on my birthday, a little known fact.
Ooh. Happy birthday.
Thank you. But the reason that people are saying it's that the only reason like they wouldn't recommend it over the regular new 2DS XL is that the screen, while bigger, isn't as nice. Like, it's not as clear.
Hmm.
It's like the difference between, like, you know, the original, there's the two versions of the Vita. I know nobody knows what a Vita is.
Except for me and Skye.
I have a Vita. I just don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is.
I don't know if you have it or I have it.
I know we don't have it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have it.
Where did it go?
I don't know, but I want it because I want to play Sword Art Online. I also want to play Minecraft.
Dude, Minecraft on the Vita.
Sword Art Online.
So good.
You've been gone.
Anyways, the point is, there are two Vita screens. There's the first Vita screen and the second Vita screen. And the first one, beautiful. Second one, not very beautiful.
Wow.
All right, let's move on.
It's Alicia's turn.
Yes.
Okay, so listen, that was supposed to be mine. But I'm going to talk about something else. I asked him to. Anyway, so Kirby.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about the new Kirby game.
There's gonna be new Kirby, and I friggin' love Kirby.
Hold on, did you?
Okay. I friggin' love Kirby.
Oh, okay,
did you play the Kirby game on the Wii, the one that was 4-player co-op?
What?
Yes.
Oh my god, that game.
So
one of
good.
My favorites of all time. I'm
so
not even
good.
Kidding. Yeah.
Literally, I love Kirby. My favorite Kirby game ever is Kirby Air Ride.
Holla!
Holla! Yep. Kirby Air Ride.
Love Kirby Air Ride so much.
Only because
they're just so good.
Float around.
Did you ever play the
house.
It might be the original one, but I downloaded it on my 3DS.
Is
from
it black
the
and
e
white?
Shop. Yes.
Yep. That's
that
one
is so good.
The thing is, Kirby is one of the only games where it was like, man, this gameplay loop works so well and is so addicting.
Yeah.
Let's make it the same for every single Kirby game ever.
Yep.
And it's never gotten old.
The little screenshots that I saw of, like, the new game is it's like Wispy Woods, I think, has been in every game ever.
Cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was pretty good. Anyway, so the new Kirby, don't know much about what's going to happen with that.
Well,
do we
know
have a release date?
No, we have 2018 is what it is. Ugh. But we know that it's very similar to the one on the Wii. That's why I brought it up, is it's like,
yeah. Oh.
It's 4-player co-op.
Oh, good.
And the way that they make it look like is Kirby goes in and he can control, like, possess the enemies on screen, and then those enemies become characters that the other people can play
so
as. So I'm excited for that, because that means that we can, like, you can be playing, and as soon as I want to drop in, the first enemy you see, you can be like,
boom.
Okay, boop, and
that's
then it's
me.
Like, that's who I
that's
play
me.
As.
Also, there's a new
that's
Yoshi
new
game coming
dis-
out.
Yeah.
Is it also the same kind of like Woolly World, where it's like multiplayer?
It's, yeah, it's the same.
Also, have you played Woolly World?
No. Woolly World is so good.
It's so good.
I played Kirby's Epic Yarn, though.
Cute.
Unpopular opinion, one of my favorite Kirby games.
Oh.
As long as it's one
Banana
of
Bender?
Not the favorite.
What? No, Banana Bender. It literally, it goes Kirby Squeak Squad, Kirby's Return to Dreamland for the Wii.
No, this is your favorite Kirby game or one of your favorite games of all time?
Kirby game.
Okay. Real quick, have we clarified
if Air Ride
doesn't
get
the
top
3?
Air Ride is
you.
My favorite game
oh,
of all time.
Okay.
Not actually, but definitely doesn't count as a Kirby game
oh,
in
yeah.
my head, because
it's
a completely
it's not in the top 3 Kirby games, but like top 3 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Banana
sense.
Bender is Shelby's
safe word,
so when he actually means something is truly the best, he'll use Banana Bender.
He's a very enthusiastic man, so a lot of things are the
best.
For example,
yeah.
Metroid Prime 3. Damn. Metroid Prime 3, one of the best games ever made, hands down, period. Banana Bender.
Which one's it really?
Good
is
safe
that?
Word.
I'm trying to think of a game that I love that's a Minecraft, one of the best games ever, hands down, period.
Not true.
Did you love
Minecraft.
Yeah,
very good. That's
okay,
the that one I actually
so
really love, but it's
Speaking
not.
Speaking of Minecraft,
that's true.
It's coming cross platform.
That's
well, so it's going.
True.
So right now it's out for the PC and Android devices. If you have the beta, it's in beta right now. And then it's going to come to the Xbox One, quote unquote, soon.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Microsoft. Yeah. And apparently they tried to get it with PlayStation, and Sony refused. and yeah, didn't, and said they did not.
We talked about it a little bit last.
Why is Sony the worst? Please explain.
Guys, they just want to be safe.
Okay, but
is this what they were talking about when they said they wanted to be safe?
Yeah, that's what. That's
Sony. I'm a very avid PS4 or any PlayStation anything. So you're like
representative PS4.
Please cross platform. I don't understand what you mean. You want us to be safe?
You are a PlayStation. I don't get it.
You are a PlayStation.
I'm offended.
I become a PlayStation.
I'm actual PlayStation.
Okay, so Alicia and I can agree on this.
Yes.
Please cross.
Seriously, like, it's such BS.
Nintendo, like, people are too dangerous.
The problem I'm having with it is it's like, I'm going to be able to play Minecraft. There's only a few games that this is going to work with. Rocket League and Minecraft. For now.
I really think that they're afraid of the grieving that'll happen.
Or is there something internally
that always happens.
Literally, they cannot... Like
a lot of the time,
physically do it. Like, a lot of the time, there's something lacking in their system. I just can't do it.
I can come up with a reason why for a lot of things.
Middle fingers.
Like I can literally in my head, I can fathom different reasons, like technically why or what's happening. Here's the deal: Nintendo doesn't even understand how the internet works, and they found a way.
They're still confused.
Yeah.
So it's like if Nintendo can do it technically wise, PlayStation
it's
absolutely
gotta
can.
It's got to be a financial thing.
No.
There's got to be some kind of financial gain from them not
there,
doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there'd
there's
have got, to be.
It's gotta be. There's got to be a reason, and it's going to the public, it would probably sound really awful and selfish and big business. It's got to be that. It's got to be something to do with money.
I guess I know what's more big business,
but like, what's better for your players?
I know. Callie's on a track. Like, I feel like they just can't do it, and they're being
yeah. I feel
little
like it's one of those
weenies,
two things.
And they're like, oh, PlayStation's the best.
Prove us wrong, PlayStation.
But, yeah,
it's so frustrating.
Like, I wonder if they're just like, we can't admit we're not as good.
We are not as worthy.
Are there mods on PlayStation now for Skyrim and Fallout?
Yes.
Okay, I was just checking if that had come.
What if it's not they can't do it, like, technically, but they can't do it because of some contract?
No, because it's just with Minecraft.
Yeah.
Why would there be... Because if Nintendo's
doing it... And Microsoft owns
it,
so...
No, it's I don't think they're doing any cross-platforming.
They're not at all.
Yeah,
there's no
so
cross-platform play. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's stupid.
That's what I think. I think it's some... Either I think they can't do it, like you guys said, or it's some... stupid big business reason.
There's
like contracts or money.
Some reason they can't do it.
There are so many things in the game industry
like,
I wish I was an insider so I could understand.
Yeah. Here's my thought behind it. And this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. If you really think you're not getting any financial gain from bringing more players to your system, that makes no sense.
It's literally the main problem is that the only person it hurts are the players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, ouch, my heart hurts.
Question. So it's cross-platform on all three, Xbox, Nintendo, PlayStation, right? Well, not PlayStation, but a potential.
Xbox, Nintendo, phone,
PC.
PC
too?
Yes. Yeah. PlayStation's literally the only one who's just
okay,
like,
but listen,
no.
PC has a totally different version of Minecraft.
The Windows 10 version. The PC-only version is going to be where it is.
They're
going
to
But the Windows 10 version. Also, I don't know if any of you saw this, but does anybody play Stardew Valley?
Yeah, I was going to talk about this.
Oh my gosh,
I was going to bring it up.
Stardew Valley.
We all want to.
Yeah, Stardew Valley, they've announced what multiplayer is going to be. It's literally everything
I've
dreamed
when?
It. They said early 2018 for the beta, 2019 for when it releases.
Wait,
early 2017 for the beta, 2017, late 2017 for the beta.
Thank you.
Early 2018.
Okay,
for
I was waiting.
I was
waiting.
I'm so sorry.
If I'm forced.
Yeah. Anyways, super excited for that. That game's one of my
you
favorites.
You get to play Harvest Moon with your friends.
Yeah,
exactly.
Literally, there's
you
get to
marry each other.
You can marry each other or the other NPCs, or and you can just raise animals.
Yeah,
super
yeah.
exciting.
I respect your relationship.
We only have so much time left. We have a couple more things we want to talk about.
We literally have news.
Before we even move on, we're done with E3. There's so much we could talk about. We could dedicate four podcasts to everything
True.
We want to talk about. We have so much to say. But we're going to move on to our number one thing that we missed, and I'm only going to say one thing about it before we don't need to go on and on. The one thing I want to say is that
we missed each other.
We already went on and on about Legend of Zelda and the Nintendo Switch. Which is one of the reasons we went on hiatus was that we recorded two podcasts and both of them failed to record. Like the recordings didn't work and they glitched and had
all jumbly
they
and
got
cut.
All jumbled and cut up. So
it was a dark time.
It was a dark time, and it was really disheartening to record and give our opinions on something for it to not work at all. And so we were all kind of burned out from doing it two times.
And me
and having
Shelby,
a break.
It was when we were getting married. Well, it was like 2 months before we were getting married, and we were also doing a show. So it was like, I'm not gonna dedicate time to this thing that's crushing my soul.
So to sum up how we all feel about the Nintendo Switch and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
10 out of 10.
It's good.
Watch that trailer where it's 10 seconds and all it is showing the reviews for the game with the box art. That's us.
That's accurate.
So with that, we're moving on to our final topic. Skylar,
so they announced, I believe today, that Spotify is coming to the Xbox One.
It was on Friday when they announced it.
Or on Friday.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really exciting. I don't know exactly what it means. I don't know if we'll be able to listen to it behind
I'm
all of our
sure
games.
I'm pretty sure it'll be like literally just like PlayStation, where it's like you can have the app on your thing and listen to it off your TV, and it's
and while you play,
you can listen to it while you play. Yeah.
I think
and
it,
I just,
it's harder.
I've never used it ever, and it's just
I was
not
about
that
to
cool.
Say, not to be awful, but I was wondering why this was exciting. As a person who doesn't use
okay,
well,
let me tell you why. Because you're playing Call of Duty, but the soundtrack is, I don't know. Be more chill.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like,
whatever you choose it to
you're
do.
Listening
so,
to Michael in the bathroom
okay.
as
yeah.
you're, like, killing a
that's the
people.
Thing is, all right,
cool.
The reason I think this is cool is because Groove Music has this, and Groove Music is something nobody
uses. It's Microsoft's, music service.
So nobody uses it, but it does the same thing that the Spotify is going to do, which is it plays it in the background of whatever game you're playing.
What's cool about Spotify to me is that it's like almost a social media version of a music thing. Because it's like I can go on Spotify and I can see what all my friends are listening to.
I literally
can go and
love
listen to their podcasts. It's awesome.
Pay for premium.
And so it's cool because in the video and the screenshots that they've done from it, it's going to work the same. So if you open your friends menu, you can see what they're listening to. Which I think is going
to
be really cool.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to start to listen to this while you play Call of Duty.
Well, I think it's cool because I can go to like Alicia's gaming playlist or Shelby's gaming playlist and like know what you listen to when you play Destiny and stuff like that.
This is a problem though with everything. They could have announced, I mean, that Pandora's already on there. They could have announced anything. I have a Google Play account. So until they announce that, I won't be able to do what I want to listen. I'll just use my phone anyways. And I have a playlist on my Google Play that is my gaming playlist, and it's just a bunch of songs that don't have words, so I can listen to it while I play
some games.
Well, this
is kind of smart, because it's also like...
It's getting there.
Maybe I should get Spotify.
Maybe you should get Spotify.
I know.
You,
but
you and Summer can both have an account for
my
like $15.
My Google Play account, though, adds YouTube Red.
Ooh, that's a tough... That's
yeah,
a
it's
tough.
Been a struggle to not have YouTube Red the last couple months, but I love Spotify.
Yeah, I know. Spotify's great. I love most music. Like, even Google, like Groove Music, awesome. I had a free trial. It's awesome. Especially good for Forza Horizon 3 racing game. They have a radio station. It's really cool because they have the radio station plays the songs, and then as you get into the festivals, it's playing the songs live. So I had a Green Day playlist where Green Day would play, and then as I got to the place, it would sound like Green Day was playing live, and when I was inside of the buildings, you'd hear Green Day outside playing their songs really
loud.
Awesome.
And
I was like,
that's really
what
cool.
a cool way to like bring people in like they were playing live at the festival. Awesome. Super cool game. I'm going to take us home, Skylar. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm actually really glad we talked about that. Thank you for listening to NPX. You can find us on YouTube, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, and any other place you usually find something to listen to. Does Spotify have a podcast section?
Not for us. They only have very big podcasts on Spotify.
So not for us.
So yet.
There you go. Worst day of your life so far.
I'm Shelby.
I'm Skylar.
I'm Callie.
I'm Summer. I'm Alicia.
That's us signing
thanks
off.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Also, hey, quick shout out to Stolen Droids, who's going to be a part of this now. We're really excited about that.
It's more like we're a part of
them now.
Yeah, well, either way, we're together now.
Yeah,
so
we have a team now.
We're really excited to work with them on podcasts and other things. So look for us on their site, stolendroids.com. I've written a couple things. I don't know if you guys want to write stuff, but you're welcome to. So look there if you want to hear more from us, and we'll see you guys later.
Thanks. Bye.
I love you.
When you're born and you gotta listen to something, don't listen to us.
Wop. This has been a Stolen Droids Media production.